This is the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Clark Judge, Rick Goslin, and Ron Borges.
Well, as you no doubt know, our next guest, Jack Youngblood, is one of the best pass rushers in NFL history. His 151.5 career sacks placed him fifth on the NFL's all-time list and earned him a bust in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But his 29 sacks before that at the University of Florida, well, they earned him a plaque in the College Football Hall of Fame, a first-round NFL draft selection by the L.A. Rams, and a seat here today to talk about his career at both Florida and with those Rams. Jack Youngblood, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm still trying to figure out where the half came from. That wasn't part of the deal. I don't.
When you find it, get in touch with the hall, would you please?
Absolutely. Give me a little correction here.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, we're spotlighting the top college producers of NFL talent this week. We're focusing on the Gators of Florida. They've had 47 first-round draft picks, and you were one of them. You were a Florida kid from Monticello, which is just down the road from Tallahassee and Florida State. So how and why did you pick the University of Florida?
Well, first of all, I wanted to go to Tallahassee. I really did, you know, because they were, you know, in the backyard, basically, and I thought that, you know, I was kind of I followed them a little bit. I didn't know anything about University of Florida, and it was all, guys, it really was all out of the blue. I had no idea that anybody, any scout from the University of Florida was looking at our, you know, our championship little football team there in Monticello, Florida. And we win the championship. We're on the football field. We're celebrating. I got my little girlfriend under my arm, and a gentleman grabbed me by the elbow, and I turned and looked. I've never seen this man in my life. And he goes, "Son, how would you like to play for the University of Florida?" And I said, "Let me think about that." "Yes, sir." I'm telling you, that there wasn't any hype. There wasn't any ESPN. None of that went on in my career.
Who was the guy, Jack? Who was the guy?
It was actually the baseball coach for the University of Florida at that time. They had to do two or three jobs back in the 60s. And so he had the recruiting for the championship games in North Florida. Coach Ford.
Interesting. Wow. Well, how did your 4 years in Florida prepare you for an NFL career, and certainly in your case, a Hall of Fame career?
It didn't. No. Monticello, Florida is not anything like Los Angeles, California. You're talking about country come to town. I had no idea what I was getting into, but those 4 years at the University of Florida were absolutely, probably, if you look back at all of them, for the best years of your life. You know, it's an experience. You're leaving home. You're on your own. You think, you know, at 18, 17, 18 years old that you're a grown man. You know what you're doing. No, you don't. But it was a life changing event. I'm flying into LA, and of course, you know, I had no idea I was going to be a first round draft choice. I mean, I can remember one scout, and it was the I can't think of the guy's name now because I've been hitting the head too many times. But the scout from Dallas, he came in a couple of times, and he ran me in the 40 and did a little athletic stuff out there on the field and that type of thing. And then he would take me. We'd go back into the locker room, and he'd put you on the scale, and he would weigh you. And he would then see how tall you were. Every time, twice I can remember it. I was on the scale, and he pulled the measure down, and he'd go 6'2.5", and I'd step off. I'd go no, I'm 6'4", and I'd get back on the scale, and he'd put it down again, and he'd go, okay, 6'3". No, it's not. He wanted, and I realized afterwards, he wanted to see my reaction. He wanted to see how I responded to that. And I thought it was hilarious. And in fact, several years later, we were at some event together, and I approached him about that, and he laughed. He said, "I just needed to see how you're gonna, how you gonna deal with that."
Well, hey, Jack. Speaking of that life changing event at the University of Florida, I look back at your career and I'm looking at some of these games. You had a 5-sack game against FSU. You had 9 tackles and a forced fumble in the Gator Bowl upset of Tennessee, and I think that was, from what I remember, that was Coach Ray Graves' final game. Anyway,
it was.
You were an Outland Trophy finalist. You're also the SEC Lineman of the Year in 1970. A lot of stuff there. So what was your favorite memory from your college career at Florida?
This is going to sound crazy. But, I mean, for me, recalling play after play, in whatever ball game over the course of 4 years, I played each individual play and put the next one ahead. I never looked back and didn't look forward. I looked at the play that was ahead of me. And I do remember though in Florida State, and we're up there, and we're winning, and they had cheerleaders on our sideline, right in front of their student, students in the stadium there. And so I grab it, and she's doing her little cheerleader thing and all that. I run up, grab her by the hand. We jump up on our bench, and I start cheering with her. I caught a little grief about that one.
I bet. From the cheerleader or from the fans?
From the coaches,
your teammates,
and the players.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack, you played in the 1979 playoffs, including the Super Bowl with a fractured leg, which stamped you as one of the most mentally and physically tough players in football history. What went into that decision to decide to play?
I was the captain. I was the leader of the football team, and I was going to do everything I possibly could within my power and ability to go on that field and to lead my guys and to try and win a football game. It wasn't about the pain, the pain. There's pain in every snap, just about. It was about the leadership aspect and what my responsibility was.
Jack, you won't remember this, but I was working on the West Coast in 1979 up in San Francisco, and I came down and covered that game. And it was in those days, you actually could talk to players before the during the week. And I went up to you. I was a young reporter. I'd only been a couple years. And I everybody talked about how you're going to play with a broken leg. And I said to you, you're not really going to play with a broken leg, are you? And I'm not kidding you. You turned and looked at me like I had broken out of an insane asylum. Like, you know, what are you talking about? Of course I'm going to play in the game. And you just went into this long lecture on why you had to play and why, of course, you were going to play. It was fascinating.
You know, guys, we had the very best medical staff in the country at that point in time, and they did everything they possibly could to keep us on the field. And to this day, very day, we've lost Dr. Curlin and Clarence Shields was there, and Toby Friedman was our internist. And those guys loved us like we were their children. And they literally did everything they possibly could to get me prepared to play, go and play those 60 minutes.
But Jack, speaking of that, and we're speaking with Hall of Famer Jack Youngblood on the Talk of Fame Network, and you can find us on the web at talkoffamenetwork.com or on Twitter at talkoffamenet. And Jack, speaking of that, you know, I understand why you played in the playoffs. I mean, I don't know how you did it. You played with a fractured leg, but I understand that. But what I don't understand is that's not where it stopped. I mean, I didn't know until we talked to Arthur J. Parris last year that in addition to that Super Bowl, you also played the following week in the Pro Bowl with that broken leg. I mean, in the big picture, that game's sort of meaningless. So why did you play there?
I wasn't going to miss the party. No. I've come through 14 ball games, 3 playoff games, and we lose, and I'm mad, and I'm going to Hawaii. We're going over to and have a Mai Tai.
Hey, Jack, you didn't miss a game in your first 13 seasons. You know, set an NFL record for defensemen with 184 consecutive starts. You finally sat out a game with a ruptured disc in your lower back late in the 84 season, but returned the following week to play the season finale and subsequently the playoffs. So what's the difference between pain and injury?
That's an individual perspective there. And pain is one thing. An injury is when the parts don't work. And the knee goes out, the medial collateral goes out, the L5-S1 is busted. And it is painful, but still you have the ability to be an athlete. And, you know, it goes back to what was my responsibility as the captain of the football team.
Hey, Jack, we're going to have to run, but thanks so much for the time. You know what? You didn't want to miss the party at the Pro Bowl. We didn't want to miss the party here, and we didn't. That was fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks,
anytime,
Jack.
You know that.
Thank you.
You got it. That was Hall of Famer Jack Youngblood. Up next, it's our 2-minute drill. You're listening to the Talk of Fame Network.